with Ann Carrick and Vincent Caprio. It's What You're Talking About This Week.
And counting. That's right. Every president gets at least 4 years in office. We're halfway through. We're going to find out what you think about that. I'm Ann Carrick.
And I'm Vincent Caprio.
And that's what we're talking about tonight. The phone number is here, 203-333-WICC. That's 9422 or 1-800-922-6060.
Thank you, Ann. Before we begin, I just want to mention to all the listeners, I am not related to Frank Caprio. Well,
you're sure?
Well, actually, he might be like a seventh or eighth cousin, just like Obama is actually related to Dick Cheney as a ninth cousin.
As a ninth cousin.
Yes.
Excellent.
But he is not a brother or first cousin, so I can't...
So you can't take credit or deny anything he says?
Well, we all know what he did say. He told President Obama to shove it.
Nicely. That. I know. Would you like to tell everybody who we're going to talk to tonight first?
Oh, sure. Our first guest is a friend of mine of 30 years, Larry Mann. He's a Wall Street veteran who's retired now. And Larry and I have been talking about the deficit since we were in high school. I know that's unbelievable.
And we won't say when that was.
No, I can say it. It was in 1975. I'm not supposed to use these dates. But in 1980, our national debt was $1 trillion. It went over $1 trillion. I remember having this conversation with Larry about it being $1 trillion. And now we stand at $13.7 trillion. And without further ado, I'd like to talk to Larry about that.
So, Larry, nice to have you with us tonight.
Well, it's kind of you to have me on.
My understanding in our chit-chat ahead of time there was that you have switched parties, but you're still not happy. That's a very short version, but I'll let you explain.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think, like Vincent, I was historically Republican. But to be candid, after 8 years of watching the Republicans spend like drunken sailors and start two wars, they succeeded in doing something I wasn't, you know, for sure could happen. They turned me into an independent, you know, and ready for change. You know, along comes 2008 and the presidential election, and I found myself voting for a Democrat, for Obama. You know, he sold me on the concept of change you can believe in.
And?
Well, I think 2 years have gone by, and the question is, you know, has there been real change? You know, from my perspective, I'd have to say no. You know, when I look at the landscape, I see us still involved in two costly wars. Obviously, we've made some progress in Iraq, although it's hard to tell. More importantly, on the financial front, an area that I have a little bit of experience with, there's no question Obama inherited a mess, not of his own making. But I look at what he did. He appointed Geithner and reappointed Bernanke, two individuals who, quite frankly, were involved, you know, in creating the mess. Geithner being head of the New York Fed, and Bernanke being Greenspan's right-hand man.
Now, I find that interesting in that you know that, and I know that, and now our listeners know that Geithner was the head of the Fed, and he was there on September 12th.
New York Fed, yeah.
Yeah, and he was in the famous meeting on September 12th, 2008, and he was in the room. And I just wonder why more Americans don't find him culpable for the mess.
To me, you know, not to be use a cliche, but it's kind of like having the fox guarding the henhouse still. I don't understand. You know, and the fact that the president has continued, you know, to support these guys in the form of Geithner and Bernanke, and following the policies, quite frankly, that Bush started. Of privatizing profits and socializing losses makes no sense to me. You know, he watched while Wall Street paid huge bonuses after the taxpayers, you know, you and I and your listeners, you know, saved the street. Effectively, we bailed out Wall Street at the expense of Main Street.
Now, what is your biggest opposition to Bernanke? I know that when Bernanke was up for the Senate approval, most people don't realize he did not go through 100-0.
Correct.
It was more like 72-0. You know, 22. What was your opposition to reappointing Bernanke?
Well, I saw him as following the same failed policies of Greenspan that got us into this mess. I mean, effectively, what we have done for the last 20-odd years has, borrowed from Peter to pay for Paul. In other words, we've goosed the economy through ever larger amounts of debt. And that's the same policy that Bernanke is continuing to pursue as we speak. And while it may create a respite, I don't see it as a solution, and ultimately I see it as potentially, creating further bubbles and further trauma for the U.S. economy.
You know, it's interesting you say that because individuals, I think, were doing the same thing for a long time, which is how so many people got themselves into a situation that's hard for them to get out of, where they were spending more than they were making and, you know, using this credit card to pay off the other credit card, and all of a sudden the whole house of cards collapsed on them. And I saw a recent story that says that individuals have actually taken a step back and are now spending less than what they make, for the most part. You know, novel idea there.
Right.
But the government hasn't quite caught on to that whole concept of spend what you don't have.
It's even worse than that. They're back to encouraging people to relever, which is obviously a problem because individuals are realizing they have to pay down debt. It's a perverse situation.
Now, 1 in 7 homeowners are in foreclosure, which when we were younger men, it would be 2%. What I'm even confused by the politics of whether or not banks should foreclose. Can you just add some light to that?
Well, why shouldn't banks foreclose? I mean, if people enter into if they can't service the debt, then, you know, what's the alternative? the problem is that we had a system that allowed people to get in over their heads, encouraged people to get in over their heads, and, we're paying the price for that. And, you know, one of the things, again, that I feel disappointed in the current administration is that I don't see I see very little accountability for the individuals that created this mess. I mean, you know, there was clearly rampant fraud in the mortgage business, and you know, where are the prosecutions? Where are the perp walks? I mean, I don't see anyone other than the taxpayers, quite frankly, covering the cost of this mess.
And I think that's one of the things that really annoys people. And it sounds like you're on the top of that list. Is that, you know, it's one thing if things go poorly, and it's another thing when you find out that the people, you know, were doing things that they knew were not right when they were doing them. In other words, it's not like they were just stupid and made a mistake. They knew very well when they were doing some of the mortgages that they were not good and they should not have been doing them, and the way they were sold off. And so you're right. People want to see the people responsible step up to the plate, or at least have it be acknowledged that they messed up and have some sort of restitution.
Yeah, I'd go on to say this whole defense of who could have known, which seems to come out of everybody, is nonsense. I mean, everybody knew, or certainly people involved in the nuts and bolts knew, and it's creating an environment in the country that's not positive, in my view.
So here you were, a Republican since you were 18 years old.
Probably before that, yeah.
Yes, we were. That's true. And you are highly educated. You actually have an MBA from University of Chicago, and you're an undergraduate from Georgetown. I would say you're one of the most educated people I've ever met.
You're kind to say that.
No, but then you listened to Obama, and you believed he was a transformative president, and he was going to be charismatic, and he wasn't going to be polarizing, and now you're very disappointed. What else are you disappointed in?
Well, you know, using an example of, you know, let's talk about health care. Now, I actually may be in the minority in the country in that I think it was important legislation. Whether we got it right or not this time around, it's hard to tell. It's so complicated. But clearly it was costly, and from my perspective, the timing of it was suspect. I mean, I think it took the country and Obama's eye off of the real ball, which is the economy and unemployment.
And hasn't he actually admitted that now? I think I saw that recently where, not Obama himself, not Obama himself, I don't think, but I think somebody in the, you know, from his administration even said that, you know, 2020 hindsight, he realizes maybe he should have focused more on the economy.
Well, it came out in the New York Times Magazine.
Is that right? But I mean, you know, if they finally turned to financial reform, and again, I'm by no means an expert on the legislation that was passed, but my impression is that no real reform occurred. And the fundamental problem that got us into this whole mess was having institutions that were too big to fail. What have we done? We've made them bigger and done nothing to dismantle that. So, the very institutions that help create this mess, along with the Fed, are still, you know, alive and well and beholden to the U.S. taxpayers on the hook for them, quite frankly, because that seems to be the policy we're pursuing.
Right. You know what, Larry, we have a phone call. Let's find out Mike in Newtown. Mike, you've been listening. Do you have a comment to add?
Yes. Hello. Good evening, everybody. I want to apologize in advance. I don't know names.
I'm Vincent Caprio.
Gentleman on the phone. I would just like to make a couple of comments. I agree somewhat, but I don't seem to agree specifically. I know that you've been making the comments on the general political platform that's going on now. I want to hear smaller brushstrokes. I'm hearing large brushstrokes with respect to the economy and with respect to Obama, with respect to George Bush and Geithner and such. Specifically, in my opinion, what got us in this mess is that we have found that these the CDOs and the banks that have been packaging these CDOs were in essence packaging CDOs that were what I might consider fraudulent.
Well, I'll let Mr. Mann talk about CDOs and CMOs. Go ahead, Larry.
Well, I think that the caller makes a good point that these collateralized debt obligations that were pooled for mortgages are at the heart of the problem. And, again, I'm 15 years out of Wall Street and not an insider, but it's hard for me to believe that people didn't know the kind of mess they were selling and the theory that if we don't do it, someone else will sell it.
Right.
And, Mike, did that answer your question?
Well, yes, in a way, because what the SEC should do is it should come in like they came in with John Paulson or with Goldman Sachs, because in reality that is where the mess started. I'm not saying that politically that people didn't have a say in it, but I think a lot of people were just on the sidelines, and I'm taken aback when I hear specific comments about George Bush's, this is George Bush's mess. I don't agree with that.
All right, Mike, thanks for your call. We appreciate it.
I agree with the concept and made the comment that, where are the prosecutions? There's no question that fraud was committed, and we've seen no real prosecutions.
True. You know what? I'm going to have you hold the rest of your thoughts. We're going to take a quick break, and then we will come back and talk more with Larry and also get your input as to how you think things are going halfway.